I'm sure he's concerned, and just knowing how he would be, and hopefully we'll have some good news tomorrow.
To clarify, they ruled out an ACL for him?
They haven't ruled it out. No, we're not sure. I mean, there is concern because of how he feels, and, you know, but you know, they do the tests and stuff on the sideline when usually they say whether he definitely did or not, and they didn't say that, but we are concerned with that, and keeping our fingers crossed for the MRI or whatever he does.
Hi, I'm Patrick Willis, and welcome back to the Morning Roast.
Oh, I love that rejoin. That was Kyle Shanahan after the game yesterday. Niners improved to 3-0 with a 16-15 victory, but basically did it without their star defensive end, Nick Bosa, who left with about a minute left in the first quarter yesterday. You saw him on the sidelines getting stretched out. They're calling it a knee injury. And whoever it was in the crowd, he's like, Nick, you okay? You're going to be okay. When he was leaving, he just gave a thumbs down, which you never want to see. It felt like I was watching Joaquin Phoenix and the Gladiator, Commodus, giving the thumbs down to the crowd right there. But again, we'll wait if any news comes out regarding it. Supposed to get an MRI, the results. I know Rappaport had a report on it on NFL Network this morning that he's just going to get some testing done. And again, any news that happens, we will relay that information when it comes to one Nick Bosa. But Niner fans, Joe, holding their breath, and rightfully so right now. Like, it is one thing to be able to do this without Kittle, without Jawan, without, hell, Micah Williams. I thought he was, you know, going to be out for this game. He has the wrist injury, comes back and makes play after play for them. But it gets to a point where you can't overcome some losses. And Nick is one of those guys where you would not just be able to overcome something like that. So hopefully it's not serious. And if anything, it's a week or two or something like that.
Yeah, it sounds like he was wearing the same sleeve that Dominic Pooney was wearing and walking in the same way that Dominic Pooney was walking when he injured himself after the preseason game. I believe he missed 2 or 3 weeks total and was ready to go for week one. So we will see. You know, I think best case scenario, he misses multiple weeks. I think worst case scenario, he's out for the season.
Exactly. And again, any news we will get, we're just speculating right now. No one knows anything quite yet. You could come over the next day. They're trying to be very hush-hush. It could be a tear. We don't know. We don't know. But
I know they have an MRI machine at the stadium. All stadiums do. All professional stadiums. So they do this thing where, like, let's do an MRI, and then they do another one the next day to just kind of confirm or deny whatever they previously saw.
And again, it happened right at the end of that first quarter. He got double-teamed, actually. He was getting double-teamed quite a bit in this game early on.
James Conner, you saw, like, oh, my God,
yeah.
The leg was folded. This one, yes, the right leg planted, but Joe, it didn't seem like to me, it just didn't have the trauma that I associate with like an automatic, oh my gosh, that's an ACL injury.
Well,
that doesn't mean that it didn't happen.
It just
seemed very routine.
When I watched it, because it was the left tackle, Kelvin Beachum, and it was the guard, Evan Brown, for the Cardinals.
Yeah, he came over late.
Exactly. But they're saying it's the right knee, but it was the left knee that looked like it kind of bent awkwardly, not even, but you never know with those things.
Who knows? Was that the surgically repaired knee?
I think it might have been. We'll get on that in a second. But 888-957-9570 is the number, brought to you by Golden State, serving the Bay Area for 3 generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com. Niner fans, your team is 3-0. It's a monster Monday. It's a victory Monday. There are no guests. You are the guests. We want to hear from you. How are we feeling this morning? How confident are you right now? Fighting through all this adversity, and this team is full of fighters right now, Joe. I want to hear from what Fred Warner, the captain, again, making another DPOY kind of play yesterday. I know you want to pay off your Christian McCaffrey tease there. But this is what Fred Warner had to say about the team being a full of fighters.
Well, yeah, I think it just speaks to how gritty our team is. You know, we got a team full of fighters who are willing to go the distance all 4 quarters and, you know, and some if we need it. But, you know, we're calling on a lot of guys who probably didn't know that they were going to be needed as much as they have been. And so just extremely proud of the group and finding ways to win. And we'll just continue to try to get better and keep finding ways to win.
Mykel Williams stepping up with Nick Bosa's absence. Kendrick Bourne, Jake Ton just making plays. Hell, you mentioned MVS had a play. He had a catch there. Sky Moore learning from his previous mistake, letting that ball go into the end zone so you can set up your quarterback for a game-winning drive. They were learning from their mistakes, and they're going to continue to learn from their mistakes, and it's better to do that in wins than in losses, and they set off the tone right at home, being 1-0 at Levi's Stadium, where hopefully they play the final game of the NFL season there, that being the Super Bowl. Still very early for that. And I want to shout out Fred Warner too, Joe. A lot of class there. When obviously that devastating injury happened to Connor, they brought out the cart immediately. The entire Cardinals sideline went over Obviously, that speaks volumes for James Conner, just how he is beloved in that locker room. But I loved what I saw from Fred Warner and some of those other Niner players that were on the field. We're dapping him up when he was on that cart and just, you know, pat him on the back as best as you can. Just being a good, you know, competitor right there, and nothing but class from Fred Warner personified.
I mean, James Conner was killing them to start this game. He is such a load and such a beast. If I'm Kenneth Walker, I'm watching James Conner film, and I'm understanding how to run with that kind of violence.
Kenneth Walker had a good day yesterday, too.
Yeah. Shaking off, you know, the first tackler every time. He had a spin move on a play that the Niners completely, like, they knew exactly what was coming, and he spun out and still got the first down. I believe that was on a fourth down.
Yeah.
Maybe it was a third down.
Khalil Davis looked like he had, I think he was dead in the rights.
I just think that right now, Jordan Elliott's playing high-level football. I think that Khalil Davis has made plays in every single week. And then now you're seeing a young guy in Alfred Collins really flash. I was so out on him to start the year, and now, like, he has been completely different. He's eating double teams left and right. He almost got that safety the other day, or yesterday, excuse me. That brings me to McCaffrey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just going to get right into it. He's the most important player on the Niners right now. We saw Jimmy Garoppolo before, Christian McCaffrey. It's different. His best five games or four games or whatever it was with CMC. We've seen Brock Purdy with Christian McCaffrey. We've seen Brock Purdy without Christian McCaffrey. He's way better with Christian McCaffrey. I mean, every quarterback who's ever played football is better with Christian McCaffrey. He's the best player on the team. And you've got Fred Warner, you've got Trent Williams, and you've got Nick Bosa on this team. You've got George Kittle on this team. We've seen what their record is when he doesn't play. Did you watch last year? He played four games. This team's nowhere near what they are when he's not on the field. That being said, I'm done pearl clutching on him. I'm done. And I was probably one of the leaders of the pearl clutching in 2023 regarding touches and saving him and this and other. He is an old player. All right. 29 at running back might as well be 40 in pitcher status. Okay. Like, that's what he is right now. He's coming off of multiple big injuries throughout his career. He's going to rack up a ton of touches, and y'all are just going to have to, like, wear it. He has an opt-out after this year where they can void the deal and eat, like, $18 million in dead cap. I wouldn't do that. Even if he does get hurt or whatever, I still wouldn't eat the money. I think he can be a productive, unbelievable stud player for you as a pass catcher like he's been these first 3 weeks out of the backfield. I look at someone like Kevin Falk, not nearly as God-gifted talent as CMC. At 33 years old, this guy gave you 700 yards. I'm talking about Kevin Falk. 50-plus targets, another, you know, 75 touches on the ground. Like, that's Kevin Falk at 33 years old. All right, he played till he was 35. I can give you the Terry Kirby numbers. Guys that are pass-catching threats are always going to be effective coming out of the backfield, even if they've lost a step or two. So this whole consternation about, you know, how many touches CMC's getting, this, guys, we can't worry about next year. We're not preserving a 29-year-old running back for his 30 and 31 seasons. I think you just got to kind of go week to week, see where he's at, series to series. If he takes himself out and he taps the helmet, you go to Brian Robinson, and you just kind of just figure it out. Now, when we get to December, and maybe we've got a better record, and we're sitting here and we're like a game out of clinching a spot or a playoff spot, all right, then I'll start worrying about how to load manage him toward the end of the year. Right now, you owe it to yourself, and you owe it to the team to win as many games as possible. So, for me, you guys can all argue about the amount of raw touches that CMC's getting. I'm done. I'm done with it. If he gets hurt, it's football. James Conner got hurt between the tackles yesterday. His career's probably done.
And he's 30. He's 30.
Right?
It sucks I have to say that, and I don't want his career to be over. It's awful.
It's terrible. There is no guarantee on tomorrow. You could run him 400 times this year in terms of touches, and he could get healthy, and he gets through the whole year, and then he gets hurt next year. You could get to 200 touches, and then he gets hurt. You just don't know. But I'm done worrying about the future regarding CMC. Now, that being said, clearly this team between the tackles is having a tough time running the ball. And we know he wants to get to the outside and then cut up. I'm telling you, I think I'm not feeling juice right now on this offense. I think that they need to, when DeMarcus Robinson comes back and you get a healthy Juwan Jennings, I think three wide receiver sets with George Kittle as your tight end when he returns and eliminating the fullback from a lot of these variations is the way to go. I think it will open up the running lanes.
I love that you brought into the receiving stats right there and the receivers, because this has been a throwing team early on. Look at this. Look at this.
They ran the ball five times in the first half, and I thought it was the appropriate tact.
Look at this little tidbit. The Niners are one of two teams in the NFL right now. Small sample size, 3 weeks, but again, just kind of speaks to what you're talking about. They're one of only two teams that have two players in the top 15 in receiving yards. The Rams with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams, and the 49ers with Christian McCaffrey and Ricky Pearsall.
I mean, Ricky's on pace for 1,800 yards.
He has 281 right now. He's third in the NFL in receiving, and he doesn't have a touchdown yet, but that'll come. It's Jackson Smith and Jigba. And Puka Nacua.
I know.
Those are the only two above him.
And CMC right now is an all-pro.
He's like, above Justin Jefferson through 3 weeks receiving yards.
He's been amazing.
Carter knew all along, by the way. They laughed at him when he drafted him in
Carter
fantasy.
Carter was right. Look. I'm pivoting. I'm admitting where I'm pivoting. Like, I'm telling you, I'm done losing my mind. Just win these games. Just win each game. I'll worry about the future in the future. Because, look, George Kittle had the best camp ever. They rested him. They did this. They did that. He still randomly got hurt. Like, if he was 22 or 23 or 24, hey, you know what? I would understand being a little more cautious. He's 29. And I also want to acknowledge, I'm not being disposable and flippant about his body. I'm not treating him like an avatar and a battering ram to just waste him. I don't want to be inhumane. You get what I'm saying? Like, yeah. I think there's a fine line with how we discuss this. Like, I don't want to make it out like, just waste them all up. No. Like, be somewhat practical. But losing our minds about him getting too many touches, guys, they have to win these games. Yeah. Win these games. Would you rather, Christian, have 15 fewer touches and be 1-2?
No.
Or be right where you're at right now?
Right now. 140 all-purpose yards yesterday for CMC. And again,
he was the best player on the field.
He has more receiving yards through 3 weeks than Justin Jefferson, Tyreek Hill, Michael Pittman Jr., Cortland Sutton, Trey McBride, Brock Bowers. The list goes on and on of other number ones around there. It's pretty insane for a running back, and they've needed every bit of what he has done in that receiving game. He's been the trusted agent alongside Ricky Pearsall, not only for Brock, but for Mac Jones too, and hopefully Brock can come back sooner rather than later. But again, when he does come back, you're just going to see more of that.
And there's a deep Mac Jones conversation. I don't think he's as good as Purdy overall, but there's something to be said. The guy fits. The guy fits. I'm not creating some quarterback controversy. So just, I think that he has been awesome these last two games. Are there some plays he wants back? Yes. Do you know how many sacks he avoided yesterday by climbing in the pocket and getting rid of the ball?
Just getting rid of it, yeah.
I thought he was excellent yesterday, just in general. And there were a couple of throws that maybe the ball placement wasn't as spot on as you would like. But all things being considered, I think you lose both the games the last 2 weeks with any other backup quarterback that they've had the last few years. Hey, Mac Jones deserves a ton of credit. The fact he gutted that out with the knee injury and threw some big-time throws, and I thought Shanahan dialing up that screen pass was exactly what they needed. He was awesome. That throw to Ricky Pearsall on fourth down, they don't score a touchdown if they don't convert on that play.
I mean, through two games as a backup quarterback, he has four touchdowns and just one pick.
He's been great.
I'm taking that every single day of the week.
He has two turnovers.
Yeah, fumble, exactly. But again, just one interception throwing the ball there, as we all thought.
And the lack of sacks, too.
Yes.
I think that's important.
Yes.
I thought he's done a really good job identifying the free rusher and getting rid of the ball.
It matters. Backup quarterbacks, as we saw yesterday in Minnesota, matter with Carson Wentz absolutely destroying another backup in Jake Browning, the Cincinnati Bengals.
There was one play in particular that's going to get lost. There was a free releaser. They're in kind of like no man's land. Are you going to kick this field goal or are you not? And it's right before halftime. And the free runner comes right up the middle. And Mac just fires one to Christian. Now, you don't convert on third down. But you get enough yards to make you go, all right, we're kicking the field goal here. So you get points before halftime. I thought it was 2 weeks in a row. Clock management, Kyle, was excellent.
888-957-9570 is a number to call or text. J. Miguel Harmon, we'll get to all of you shortly as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, an Odyssey Sports Station in the home of the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries, always live on the Free Odyssey app. Coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, 1 hour down, 3 to go here on a Victory Monday / Monster Monday on 95.7 The Game at Spadoni and Chasky. Niners are rolling at 3-0, first in the NFC West after the Rams fell yesterday to the Philadelphia Eagles, and what was a crazy game. The early slate was just absolutely insane in the NFL, and I was just hoping the Niners we're going to be one of the other victims, like the Bucks, like the Eagles, or like the Rams, I should say, where it was a blocked kick field goal happening for a touchdown of the opposite way. I was hoping that didn't happen at Levi's Stadium. It didn't. Eddie Pinheiro,
dude,
money,
celebrating
Eddie Money
was insane.
Oh, he was yelling at the Cardinals sideline. It was great.
Why?
Because he's got swag. I wish Jake Moody would do that. I wish he yelled at the other sideline. Good for Eddie Money, aka Eddie DeNiro. Jay in San Rafael, kick things off. What's up, Jay?
Morning, guys. How you doing?
Fired up.
Awesome. I just wanted to say I am so excited about our 3-0 start. That's off the hook. And, hey, shout out to the special teams coach for actually coaching. The Fox broadcaster said, look at that veteran move, faking the catch and letting the ball bounce through the end zone. No mention of the previous safety-inducing mistake. Anyways, I wanted to see more variety of receivers used. Spread it around, Mac. Give me a pump fake. Look at Ricky, then hit the open guy because they started cheating off their coverage to help out with Ricky. Anyway, let's get a new Niners cheer, guys. How about, or bring back the old one. One side would say, go. The other side would say, Niners. That's all. Thanks.
Hey, wait, Jay, you still there? Oh, he got out of the hospital. That's Jay in the hospital. It's Jay in San Rafael now. He's back.
He's floating.
He's
probably
hold on.
Feeling no pain.
Can we bring a champ back? It's an old one, but a good one. Go. Niners. It's really, you know what? It's an oldie but a goodie. Let's bring it back, guys. Hell, bang, bang, Niner gang. Go, Niners. That's an original one.
So we were in this.
I love Jay.
I was in my seats in the end zone, and the guy behind me, I forget his name. I apologize. I always forget your name.
Oh, you're doing the Bonte?
Yeah. But he was like, hey, man, we haven't done the for a first down. I go, yeah, it's because we've gone 3-and-out twice to start the game. He's like, have we? I'm like, yeah, we have. You know, like that game started off ugly, and it felt like they had no momentum because Arizona had the ball for 20-some-odd minutes in the first half.